Welcome, Frank McHugh, to the Sports Cap.
It's a pleasure to be on the Sports Cap.
Oh, very good.
Just stirred Angela up. Yeah.
Running around his oval. I'm not allowed to run around his oval. It's just a Cameron Park.
No, just turned her off. You know, I'm going to pay the bills and know that she comes and runs on it.
Oh, fantastic. Now, push me. That's one of the questions coming up, Frank, so we won't steal that thunder. Frank, welcome to the Sportscast. Tell us, for the listeners, a little bit about your journey in athletics, because I have heard that you are a legendary coach.
I don't know. You don't use that word loosely. Look, well, I'm a coach. I've been here a long time. I'm dedicated. I like seeing young people, men and women, at all ages come out and run and compete. Keeps their mind active, keeps their bodies, keeps the weight off, and enjoying each other's company. And whilst it's an individual sport, they really play as a team and really urge each other on. It's fantastic.
So, Frank, what, I guess, got you involved in athletics? What was it that you thought, yeah, this is something, that this is my passion?
At school I was half reasonable when I started to train and thought, well, this is perhaps is a career for me. And then in those days, the amateurs and the professionals were at war, and so I was running amateur, and then I started to umpire football. And by umpiring football, I was barred from running in amateurs. So they said, this bloke at Cameron Oval was starting up, 50 years ago, you better go down there and train with him. And I've been here ever since.
Wow. Mm.
So you coach sprints, middle and distance. I would imagine these would involve very different training programs.
Most definitely. And I think there was about 7 or 8 groups going here tonight. There's nearly 30 out here tonight. I've got a guy helping out with some of the senior women. But, yes, the time just goes. But, yeah, there was nearly 30 from probably 10 years of age to 60 years of age.
Hmm. Yeah, and obviously, Frank, they have to have... Are you determined by what you do, by your body makeup, your physiology, if you like? I mean, I'm 6'8" and like a giraffe, so I would imagine sprinting probably wouldn't be my foray, where, believe it or not, distance actually was. So,
not necessarily. We're all so different, Jason.
Yeah.
We're all so different. Maybe, generally, someone your size generally may find it a little bit difficult to start. Those long strides take a while to get going, but... Yeah. Once they get going, everybody is different, but you keep people, youngsters involved, keeps them off the streets. And, you know, this week is the Mort Daly Running Foundation classic event at Collie Reserve on Sunday, starting at midday. Yeah. And this foundation was started 40 years ago, and it raises between $11,000 and $12,000 a year for the South Australian Athletic League. We put on a race every carnival, which helps defray the cost of running carnivals in this day and age. So, you know, we've got over $300,000 in the bank, and we've given the league over those 40 years over $440,000.
Wow.
Now, who is currently in form?
We had a very good... we had some good runs at Mount Gambier last weekend. The president's son won his first race at 14 and has improved so much this week. But we had second in the 400, second in the gift, and second in the 70. So, you know, coming in December, that was pretty good. We've got a young lad that, Xavier Poole, who was only 17, just turned 17, who ran a very, very good race in the to run second in the Mount Gambier gift. It was a pretty hot field too. And Hayden Rafe, he's really starting to come back into some form. One of our runners here have been here for a long time, but really starting to show some form. So we're looking for some big things in the next month or so.
So, Frank, after the Mort Daly, we have the Brighton meet, and then followed by the big one, the Bay Sheffield. In your mind, who are the ones to beat for the main Sheffield, for the Bay Sheffield men's and women's races?
Well, we'll probably know more by Sunday.
Yeah.
Young Jacob Aston's ran very well early. He's back about 1.5 metres. He'll get some of that back for the Bay because he's been trying, and that's fantastic. And the Blisnow brothers, they've been outstanding. I reckon they've been on the dais every time this summer so far. So they'll be around the place. But there's another 2 or 3 others that are around the place.
Oh, excellent. Now, apart from the main sprints, which get most of the attention, and how is a typical meet structured in terms of events?
This week, which is an unusual distance, only the pros know, but the 550s, which is the old 600 yards, and is run quite often. It's a very unique event for those that can run fours, those that can run eights, so it's a bit in between. It's a real gut buster, but once you're fit for them, at some stage you have a bit of, if you're going well, you get a bit of a spell, and then being a turnaround. Colour Reserve, completely different again to any other running event in the country, possibly in the world, because of the long straights and the tight corner. So you've got to be positioned. If you come around the top corner and you go, well, then it's about 120 metres, which is so different to an ordinary 400-metre track. So by 70 or 80, you're starting to run out of petrol. So, you know, there's a lot of planning, and it gets a bit tight on the corners. No one does anything drastic, but it does get very tight.
So Frank, the base you filled this year is at Collie Reserve?
No. It's Glenelg Oval. And the big debate at the moment, you guys, is that whether it goes back to Collie Reserve or it stays at Glenelg Oval.
Wow.
You know, there's fours and against. The history says, well, it's got to go back to Collie, but it's very expensive with all the infrastructure for the pubbing that's got to be put into place at Collie Reserve. So, well, you know, Glenelg Oval has been fantastic, and the cooperation we had with the council and the track preparation last year was outstanding. So the track was brilliant. Mm. And so, you know, that's got to be worked out early in 2022 to see where our future is.
Mm. So,
I was just going to ask, can you explain us to us, for our listeners, how the mark system works?
Oh.
Yeah, well, that's a very, very, you know, we need an hour to describe, to talk about that. So, look, and it has changed now. The site's put in where it was at the handicapper's discretion. But the time everyone comes in off the novice mark, now that's very unfair to everybody, because that means you're giving good runners starts. But that's how it all starts, and then you go from there. If you're competitive off the novice mark, well, you generally stay there. If you if you're not competitive and you're consistent with your times, well, then your mark goes out. So that's it in a nutshell, but it's much more complex than that. But, you've got to be around. You've got to show some form in this day and age. If you don't show any form and you win a big one, well, they'll rip it off you. So that's how things have changed. So you can't pull up anymore because you run red and in the, what they call the Z score, and they take the result. They take the win off you.
Right.
So, but you've got to show consistency. You can't come to the Bay Shepherd without any runs during the summer and turn up and win the Bay Shepherd. You can't do that. You've got to be seen to be running well. And then, and of course, the new ones or the older ones have got to be looked after as well. So, yeah, there's much more goes into than times gone by, for better or for worse.
So Frank, in your opinion, is the mark system right?
Well, put it this way. How we describe it is the fact that if we run, look, the amateurs, and that's the ultimate. There's no doubt about that. But we run off the same, off the scratch line every week, and 9 times out of 10, the same person wins.
Yeah.
So what this sport gives is that the average runner that gets out and trains hard, that becomes competitive over 2 to 3 years. Right, there was a lad who came here nearly 30 years of age, and his first mile he got lapped. In his third year, off a pretty handy mark, he's won 2 races this year.
Okay.
Now, that's the other side of it. So, they'll say, oh, well, it's just for the back markers. No, if you get out there and consistent and train hard and improve, you'll get looked after.
Okay. Interesting.
So, anyone can compete. Even 6'8" giants can compete and be competitive.
Yeah, good to know.
What about Angela? Can she run or not? I don't know.
She runs her mouth off. That's for sure, Frank. Anyway.
I've noticed that.
Hey, Frank, I spoke to you earlier on Monday when I rang up. And we had Hayley Orman on a few weeks ago. And obviously after winning the Stool Gift, she has a considerable mark to make up now. How do athletes, and let's say use Hayley as an example, how does she now prepare and train when coming off such long back marks when clearly she wants to, you know, the base chef?
And that's what the sport's about. And she got pulled 4 metres. She was very competitive at Mount Gambier last week. Absolute credit to her. You know, she tried hard. Now, again, she's got the 4 metre penalty, and that's what you get. She's competed, I think, over 3 or 4 times over the distance since. So they'll give her a little bit back, and rightly so.
Okay.
But, look, you win a big one, you cop it. Now, in some respects, that urges people on to go harder, try harder, train harder, do more gym work, etc., and then still turn up and compete.
Yeah.
So, it's... tactics play a bit up after 120. Everyone's got a strength and weakness. Nobody can run 120 metres flat out. That's humanly impossible.
Yeah.
So there's some areas that you work on with different runners, whether they're not a good starter or they're strong at the finish. Or how do you train them? Do you train them to run hundreds or do you train them to run 200s, So you think that you're doing the right thing. Every individual is different, but you train what you think accordingly.
So, Frank, obviously you want to be out in front, clearly. You want to be over the line first. But when you're running in that scenario, where is it kind of better to be placed? Is it better to be placed just behind so you can see everything, or if are you out the front and you can feel the pressure coming from behind?
Oh,
what do you see over your...
I always found it was better chasing. Because if you could get to some people, you could think, well, if I can get to this one or that one, if I can make up the ground, I reckon they'll toss it in. And some people run well from the front, some don't. Some are very good. They break your heart.
Mm.
If you get to a good front marker and then they find a bit extra, it blows you away.
Mm.
So it can work both ways. But again, some people, I think traditionally it's better to chase because you see where the field is. Sometimes you can see a gap in the, especially in the circular race, the four, threes and 400s without lanes. Sometimes you get a gap, so but generally I think it's better to chase.
Now, Frank, tell me, do you still prepare the Camden Oval for the annual classic, Camden Classic, each February? You do?
That's right.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And been doing it since 1980. Clearly,
I've been doing it for a while. That's all right.
A labour of love.
They're your words.
Yeah.
When you retire, you can do things. You can't sit at home. I mean, I just chase the public off my oval. It's called Frank Park for a reason. So those that come and use my oval, there's trouble.
Yeah. So, Frank, in all seriousness, give us an idea of how to prepare the oval and how long does it take to prepare the oval?
Yeah.
You've got it. Well, we've had an interesting summer, and Angela can tell you that the council, in their wisdom, have top dressed it and put a lot of sand on it. It was very thick, so it's just starting to come good now. And then you need at least 6 weeks to cut it and prepare it, at least 6 weeks. So you've got to cut it at least twice a week, so you... The sprint track's 10.16 metres wide, and then your 400-metre track between 3 and 5 metres wide. So you've got to keep cutting it. We haven't had a kind summer, obviously, because we haven't had any heat. This is the first week. Mm. So starting the Kaiju, you're starting to go now. So, things are going to go your way. You want to keep footballers off that want to do pre-season training on your oval, like the Crows. So all those sort of things as well. But, no, it takes a fair bit. We cut it, and then on the final days we roll it as well, so we get it as hard as we possibly can so we can run quick times.
So, Frank, why do you have to keep cutting it twice a week?
Well, because it grows. Those that are cutting, preparing the next step, of course, is for cricket pitches. They're cutting it probably three or four times a week.
Hmm.
So those that have got sand around at home at this time and looking after, it'll need cutting at least once a week. So you've got to keep it down. If you don't, especially if it can get out of control. So you keep it down low and keep it down. 6 weeks preparation. It might look a bit ugly 6 weeks prior to, but then given the right weather and water, it'll come good.
Mm.
Now, of course, you won the Classic in 1983 and you were a finalist eight times.
Oh, God, okay.
So that must help having some inside knowledge of the track.
Oh, Ange.
it's interesting, Angela, because when they resurfaced the oval, and you know it well now, they took a lot out from the Anzac Highway. So it used to have a hill. It was the same incline as Stall, believe it or not.
Huh.
It was about a metre from Emmanuel College end to the Anzac Highway and uphill. But they've cut it now. They've changed all that for better drainage, and that's fantastic. It's now all but flat with a bit of a hill in the middle. So yeah, that's changed. It's not a traditional 400 because the straights are not long enough because there's not enough room at Camden Oval. But, oh, yes, we've had a bit of success, but it's a race worth winning. It's known throughout the country, so good prize money, $5,000 men's, $5,000 women's, and, they're good races.
Excellent.
You just stand back and watch on the day the heats are fair. People run for their lives, you know. They want to run the final. It means a lot.
Absolutely. Now, I also understand that you've coached the AFL, SNFL and SA boundary umpires as well.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, how did this come about? And what is involved in coaching umpires?
Mm. That's a good question. I retired from umpiring and wanted to coach, so we boundary umpiring and the field umpires as well. But as boundary umpires coach, we had a lot of success, and you know, the likes of Darren Wilson and Mark Thompson, who both 400 AFL games to their credit, came from South Australia, and Jonathan Creasy and Amin Shahadi, to name a few. Yep. Our boundary umpires were the best in the country. So, yeah, we had a lot of success, and a lot goes into that as well. People, you just get out and give them a gobful, but no, they've got to be fit, and I still do a bit of work now with the Adelaide Footy League with some youngsters out there.
So, typically, Frank, how far would a boundary umpire run in a game?
Mm.
Like, let's say the AFL.
Well, that's changed a little bit because obviously there's two on one side.
Yeah.
You go to games, and Division 1 Adelaide Footy League is pretty hard, and it moves quickly. There's one on each side. So they're running 14 to 16K a game.
Wow.
And people don't realise that, but it's hard yakka. And it's, we can't attract people to boundary umpiring. Traditionally, it's just too hard.
Right.
Physically too demanding.
Okay.
So, and it's, we struggle big times to get boundary umpires.
Mm.
And it's easier to criticise, from the side when he's 50 or 100 metres behind, but look where the ball's come from and, what's happened in, 40 goal games and that. It's very, very difficult.
Yeah.
But it's easy to criticise.
Yeah. So, Frank, give us some names of some athletes that you've seen compete, internationally or wherever, of athletes that have just amazed you and why.
Oh, well, Michael Johnson.
Incredible.
You see, it's interesting that there's just so many. We've got a bit of a thing on at the moment. Everyone wants the world watch, and they clock all how well they're running and all that. And I say, well, our top runners, you ever know what time Michael Johnson ran? Oh, no, he just won. I said, well, put the watch away and just get out there and compete. So
we've
got a bit of a technology thing. But look, there's been some brilliant. Kathy Freeman's run at Stawell off scratch was an absolutely, in my opinion, probably the best race I've ever seen.
Wow.
There was a huge crowd. I mean, Kathy's pressure, I was in row two with 150 metres to go in Sydney Stadium.
Mm.
And she went past me and you just thought,
wow.
Is this real? Is this real?
Oh.
I mean, I think that's one of the greatest achievements ever.
Yeah.
The pressure she was under, amazing. There's some. You could talk for an hour on those people as well. But, we're not giving that. Football, women's cricket are taking, and footballers are taking away our athletes.
Ah.
There's too much for them to aim for. So, and I understand that. Athletics is going okay, but it's not going gangbusters.
Yeah, it's an interesting point because obviously, is it either next year or the year after, we've got the Women's World Cup in soccer.
Mm.
And I know that they are pumping a lot of money in that around the country because we are losing female and young girl basketballers to soccer and also to the AFL and to cricket.
AFL.
Yeah.
And I'm losing them from here. Good runners, young women that will go on and a young lady at Glenelg at the moment who will go on and will be an outstanding footballer. And she's a good runner too, but she'll make her way in women's football, an outstanding Piper Windows, her name. A lovely young lady. Played in there at 16, played in the A-grade premiership last year for Glenelg.
Mm. Give us two names to look out for the men and women's for the Bay Sheffield.
Mm.
Who should we be keeping an eye on?
I think Jacob Aston, he's a star athlete. He's Started the year off, didn't run a good final at Kensington, got run out in his heat last week by the two first and second place getters in Mount Gambier, so that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll run in the final. Given luck, he'll run in the final. The ladies is very open, mm-hmm. very, very open. There's three or four. Who else would I put in there? Look, I would have to say that the ladies, I think, is very open. I'm not going to really nominate anyone there, I don't think.
Yeah.
But look, we want people to come down to Glenelg Oval on day two. The junior women's base chef, we've got 800 heats and final on day one. We've got a 2 mile this year for the first time ever at Glenelg Oval. We're hoping to do better with some promotion being done. We're hoping to, on the way back, to increase the numbers mm-hmm. as far as the heats are concerned. So, yeah, things are looking up. It's a huge 2 days, I tell you, when you've got 30 runners running.
Yeah, and this weekend on Sunday, the Mort Daily meeting at Collie Reserve, anyone can come and watch?
Anybody. It's free to everybody from... First heat's at 12 noon, and we'll go through to about 4:45. And it'll be continuous the whole day with different distances. We've got miles. We've got 70 metres, 120 metres, men and women. That'll be their final hit-outs before the Bay Sheffield.
Mm-hmm.
We've got 550 men and women. We've got underage. We've got 120s. We've got 550 underage. It's a terrific. Sit on the bank down at Collie Reserve a nice afternoon and watch good running. It will be excellent.
Well, if you'd like to know the weather for Sunday, Frank, because I do have it here, it is going to be a sensational 27 degrees. We've got wind southeasterly 15 to 20 k's, tending southeast to southwesterly during the day, then southeasterly during the evening, 27 and sunny.
Well, that's the traditional Collie Reserve wind, see, so you've got to prepare for that.
Ah.
If you like the wind, that's the big thing about Collie Reserve. 9 times out of 10, it comes from that southwestern corner. So you've got to be able to run into the wind. Those that don't like running the wind, bit of trouble.
Very interesting.
Absolutely great to talk to you both this evening, and love to talk to you again.
Fantastic, Frank. Really appreciate it, and your dedication to athletics.
Come and say hello before I kick you off my oval, all right?
Okay, so will do. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
See ya.
Pleasure to talk to you both tonight. See you guys.
Catch you. Bye-bye.
See ya, bye.
Yes, that was Frank McHugh, of course. Long time been involved in athletics.
Yes.
And also coaching boundary umpires. So quite an incredible
all-rounder.
Yeah. So just covering off on the dates, the remaining we've got, of course, this Sunday, the Mort Daily meeting, Collie Reserve down there at the Bay. Then on the 17th, which 17th would be a Friday night,
yep.
I reckon. We've got a Brighton meeting.
Yep.
And then the 27th and 28th, the Bay Sheffield ACH Stadium, of course, home of the Bays and whatnot.
Yep.
Love watching athletics.
So do I.
Yeah.
I particularly enjoy the Bay Sheffield.
Yes, couldn't agree more. You're listening to Coast FM 88.7.